Hello, and welcome back to Career Voice, a radio program brought to you by the Association of Career Professionals International, ACP International, the world's voice on career issues. I'm your host, Marshall Brown, and I'm a proud member of ACP International in Washington, D.C. On this program, we explore career issues in the working world. We're with you at 7:30 p.m. on the air here at WMET AM 1160 on the third Sunday of each month. Career Voice is available online 24/7 at www.acpinternational.org. Just visit that site, click on the Career Voice link, and you can listen to any of our shows at your convenience from anywhere in the world. Today, we are honored to have with us Cheryl Spanier. Cheryl has been assisting executives to enter, excel in, and exit organizations for over 20 years. Her combination of quick insight, energy, nurturing, and pragmatism has enabled those whom she consults to develop strategies designed to implement successful personal and professional change. Cheryl's unique experience spans business development, proposals, project planning, management, platform delivery, and individual service. Her practice focuses on senior-level career management, leadership strategy, team engagement, and executive coaching. On today's show, we're going to discuss ethical issues in career management. The vast majority of career professionals who help people develop their careers and professionals' lives are highly ethical people. They deal with their clients honestly and fairly and provide them with valuable counseling and advice. ACP International, the organization sponsoring this program, has a code of ethics that all members must adhere to. However, because career issues and unemployment can often cause high stress for people, sometimes there are practitioners who cross over the ethical line. Our role today is to discuss what people should look for in career professionals to ensure they are dealing with ethical practitioners and to protect themselves. We will also discuss some issues relevant to the career professional. For more information about ACP Code of Ethics, please visit our website at www.acpinternational.org. Cheryl, let's start by telling our listeners of your background and how you became became involved in the field of career management.
Well, thank you, Marshall, and good morning. I actually was one of those very lucky people that found my calling early on. I went for career counseling at Columbia University, and I ended up getting hired to work in their placement office. While I was there, I was just very fortunate to be around some of the early pioneers in the career management field who were looking at the pragmatic and the psychological issues around career selections, career satisfaction, and advancement, and was very fortunate to work in one of the pioneer firms in the outplacement business in the early 80s. And grew beyond that into the field of leadership development, organizational development, and executive coaching. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved for, I hate to tell you, 20-plus years, both in the marketing and the delivery of career transition and organizational consulting practices, both with individuals and under corporate sponsorship.
Great. So our program today is going to focus on ethics. Can you talk a little bit about why are ethics in our profession, and actually, I guess for that matter, any profession, is so critical for the person who might be seeking some type of service?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as you mentioned, we work with people who very often are going through either chosen or non-selected career transitions or are making choices that are going to affect their whole lives. And so our work has a strong impact on our consumers and customers, both the individual whose career life is tied to self-concept, identity, self-esteem, some personal and financial well-being, and also all their relationships. And the corporate work we do has implications for business results, legal and financial issues, public relations, and also, of course, talent retention, morale, and motivation. So we are an industry that is fairly new. In the beginning, in the 70s, it was basically an unregulated industry, and almost anybody could provide the services. And I will say, to our credit as a profession, we decided to regulate ourselves. And one of the things that we had to do was define what we do as distinct from psychological counseling, recruiting, and there were very few protections and guidelines for the consumer early on. So I think it's just as the medical profession, the legal profession, the accounting profession has grappled with this, so too have we. As a result of that self-regulation orientation, both the Association of Outplacement Consulting Firms International and the Association for Career Professionals International formed to create some guidelines and protections so that consumers will be assured that the promises that we make to them will be kept.
Right. And, you know, when we decided to have this topic of ethics, I couldn't come up with anybody else other than you, really, to talk about this because I know you chaired the ACP Ethics Committee for a number of years.
Yes, I did.
Will you briefly highlight some of the ACP codes of ethics for us?
Sure. There are actually 12 of them on the website that you mentioned, which is www.acpinternational.com. So I
.org, but okay.
I'm sorry, org. Did I say com? I apologize.
Not a problem.
And I do recommend that anyone who's going to use these services read those codes. But I'd like to basically focus on three themes that would be very important for people to think about. The
Great.
First has to do with professional qualifications, the second, marketing promises, and the third, confidentiality. Would you like me to read the actual ethics code section related to each of those? Would that be helpful?
Sure, as long as it's real brief or you can paraphrase it too.
Sure. Well, basically, with regard to marketing, it's very important that individual practitioners as well as firms clearly define the services they offer and ensure that those services are within their knowledge and abilities, recognize the boundaries of their own competence and provide only those services, use those tools and techniques and materials for which they have been trained and are qualified. This is really important for consumers because if they are in a tough professional situation, they can easily be seduced with unrealistic promises and engage with an untrained or unexperienced, very charismatic professional. So it's extremely important that a consumer finds out for sure what the training and the qualifications are and not subject themselves to promises such as, we'll get you a job
right.
in 3 weeks.
Right.
Give us $10,000, we'll get you a job in 3 weeks. The second has to do with marketing career services, which overlaps this first issue, which is that career management professionals should neither claim, misrepresent, or imply professional qualifications they don't have or knowingly cannot deliver. So, again, this is very important, particularly since there is often an overlap with psychological factors, legal and financial counseling. A consumer needs to understand exactly what the education, training, and experiences and credentials are of the professional. And the third, having to do with confidentiality, is also very, very critical. If you're working with someone who has a social work background or a psychology background and is credentialed in those areas, or an MD, you know that you are protected. But if you're working with a consultant that either works with an outplacement firm or in a career management firm or is on their own, you cannot assume that confidentiality will be kept. And so mm-hmm. it's very important, particularly if you are being sponsored by your corporation to do the work with the professional, that you understand what the ramifications are and the limitations are with regard to what that consultant will or may share.
So it's a good idea for the consumer to look at these ethics on the website before he or her, before she or he goes to hire a consultant, correct?
Absolutely. Before you engage the services of a consultant, you need to know what your rights are and what the parameters are of the work.
Great. Would you just talk briefly about the difference you've seen in managing ethics in career management, individual clients, career transition outplacement, or mm-hmm. corporate-sponsored and organizational consulting coaching assignments? I mean, you have spent years in this profession on lots of different sides of the table, so to speak. So what do you see as some of the differences?
Okay, well, I will say that it was very interesting to work on these codes of ethics because we were working with many different kinds of professionals and internationally. So to be able to summarize them to 12 points that are understandable and actionable by the consumer was really a feat. And that's partially because of what I'm about to tell you with regard to the different kinds of professionals you could work with. I'd like to divide them up into, again, threes, the first one being a career management professional that is individually sponsored. That means that the individual who is being served contracts with that consultant or counselor or coach. This is often called retail work or mm-hmm. consumer-based work. In this case, in some ways it's very simple because it's very clear who the client is. The
right.
client is the individual who's coming to get some assistance, help, information, coaching, advice, direction. And because the individual is self-referring, the work can really get into some very personal career issues or values or identity issues, needs, goals, fit, choice. And the individual who's working with the career consultant does not have to be concerned about reports or confidentiality going back to an organization. The issues around confidentiality and staying within the parameters, however, still exist because you certainly want to make sure that the work you're doing with this individual is clearly defined and that what you share in the office situation is kept between the two of you. This is particularly important in terms of contracting as well because the consumer, the individual who's seeking assistance, is often unfocused and confused
right.
or in a crisis state. And therefore, the consultant that you're working with really needs to be highly qualified in understanding both personal as well as career-related issues and to really work with the client, the individual seeking help, to structure the work in the best interest of that client. Also, it's important for the individual coming for help to realize that although the work is very therapeutic, that is, they're going to end up feeling better and behaving better, this is not therapy. And a consultant who knows what he or she is doing will be able to sort out those issues and work within their own professional standards and appropriately refer or advise the individual that's working with them if the issues are beyond those parameters. By setting clear expectations and goals and working collaboratively and interactively with the individual.
Right. You know, we hear a lot about coaching, consultants, career counselors, the terms being thrown around a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
You're a professional in this organization and in this profession, and you've been around a while.
Yeah.
Why did someone seek out a consultant versus a coach versus a
uh-huh.
career counselor? And tell us a little bit about what you see as some of the differences.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Marshall, in thinking about the answer, I go back historically to what we called ourselves, especially as we established these professional organizations. And in the 60s and 70s, career management professionals referred to themselves and were referred to as counselors. And that's because it was a psychological orientation to the work. It was a very problem-centered approach. As the work evolved into the workplace in the 80s and 90s, career management professionals started to call themselves consultants. And that's because the orientation was more business. We were business partners, as consultants are, working both with career issues as well as business strategy. So we were considered advisors or experts. And currently the trend is to refer to ourselves as coaches, which is a more healthy sports model where we're collaborative and help the client address behaviors or attitudes which will enhance their career effectiveness. From the consumer's point of view, however, I think what's really important is for the consumer, regardless of what the individual is called, to really assure himself that the person he's working with, A, has the training, B, has the skills, and C, there's a good fit between what the client or consumer is looking for and that consultant, whatever he calls himself, provides. So the other two ways that consultants or coaches or career counselors work is in the career transition industry as well as in coaching, leadership development, and organizational consulting. And in these two situations, very often it is not the individual receiving the services that is making the contract, but rather the organization for whom the individual works, that is engaging the services of the professional. And in that case, you've got, in effect, a dual client relationship. And I think that there are some concerns that both the corporate consumer needs to keep top of mind, as well as the individual receiving the services needs to keep top of mind. And most of that has to do with contracting. So in outplacement, which or career transition services, there's a standard program of service that's usually provided, and that is decided upon based on precedent and policy within the organization. So the individual receives something that the client corporation is buying on his behalf. In that case, once the individual is participating in a corporately sponsored service around career transition, which usually happens because there's been a downsizing or a reorganization or a reduction in force,
right,
the individual is helped directly by either the consultant or a training program. And they look at, you know, they assess their values and needs, their career goals. They look at alternative options, and then they get training on how to do a job search, or starting their own business, developing alternative education options for themselves, or career change or complete retirement and all alternative life choices. And that decision should be between the consultant and the individual. The corporation that's sponsoring the work, it should only be concerned that the individual that is doing the work is receiving the service that was paid for.
Right. I know, even with my own clients, when I am hired by an organization, I make it very clear to either the human resource person or the CEO who's ever hiring me that whatever I discuss with their staff person remains between she and I.
Absolutely. And the ethics guidelines clearly outline that any reports that go back to the corporation are only general process reports or progress reports. They do not indicate any details of conversations that the individual has had with you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And that is very clearly outlined for the career transition or outplacement industry.
Great. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll discuss more work-related issues with our guest, Cheryl Spanier.
Great.
This is the Career Voice program on WMET AM 1160 and the Association Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Marshall Brown, host of Career Voice, and we're talking today with Cheryl Spanier. It's a real honor to have you with us today, Cheryl, and I thank you for joining us. So earlier we were talking about the importance of ethical standards in our profession. How do you suggest individuals seeking a career management professional actually find one?
Well, my first choice would be that you would get referrals from satisfied recipients. I think that that's really the best source, as you would find your personal doctor or your attorney. If you don't know anyone who has had the experience of working with a consultant or a coach, I think that human resources officers, training professionals who engage consultants, search professionals and psychologists and social workers, or professionals in employee assistance programs are also very good sources of information because they often know or have had experience with career consultants. In addition to that, I would recommend that the consumer research using the net or directories of consulting associations, particularly as well certifying organizations such as the International Coaching Federation, as we mentioned, the ACPI, as well as universities. There are many people that do this work that are associated with universities. Also, search out articles and books that have been written on this topic. And also your industry associations very often have people that they know or have worked with individuals that provide career services and are excellent. Another point is you really, although some people feel they have to work with someone who has actually worked in their own industry or has done a lot of industry experience, it's helpful, but it's not always necessary. What you want to do is you want to make sure that the consultant you're working with ideally has both a background in understanding how the human mind works, what constitutes behavioral change, which would be some studying in psychology, if not a degree in a psychologically oriented field, plus real-life business experience. That's the ideal combination. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And then, of course, you would like to have someone who has an attitude and a style that you feel comfortable with, because bottom line, if you have confidence in the work that this individual is going to be doing with you, if you feel that the professional will listen to you and understand your concerns and help you identify the salient issues, challenge you appropriately, and will help you set realistic expectations because they understand your needs, but they also have the experience to take it the next step, and will hold your work with them confidential, That's the ideal combination.
Right.
I usually, when people ask for a referral from me, I usually give them the names of two or three professionals.
Right. Yeah.
And have a conversation on the phone, see how you feel about the interaction. And then sometimes you have to meet with more than one person until you find a real good fit.
Right. What I typically do is I encourage my clients before they become a client, actually, to talk with some other folks just to see different people's style, because I want them to be comfortable working with me as well.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this, Cheryl. In general, regardless of whether or not the individual or an organization hires a career management professional,
mm-hmm.
how can the consumer be assured that the ethical standards are being followed?
Well, first of all, if you understand what those ethical standards are, that helps you have a compass to measure on. But I think that when you are working with an outplacement service, the ethical issues revolve around training and expertise of the consultant delivering the service, the scope and expectations that you have of the service, and the confidentiality. So I think that that's really summarizes for outplacement. For executive coaching and leadership development, most of that work focuses on the soft side of a business strategy. So people-related issues such as style, communication, people management skills, and sometimes issues around advancement, career planning, and fit issues. So this service is actually has two clients. You have the corporation that would like something on behalf of the service, and you have the individual receiving the service. So you want to make sure that the contracting, that is, the purpose of the work, is very, very clearly defined. It's basically a healthy model, which does not indicate that there is a problem necessarily, so much as that it's an enhancement of the employee or the leader's ability to define realistic goals, shape attitudes and behaviors in line with them, and gain insight and abilities to execute career-related strategies.
Great. Okay.
In that case, what you want to do as a consumer, the recipient of this service, is make sure that it's very clear as to what you're doing with the individual, that the company supports it, that your manager is supportive, and that if they're going to use any assessments such as a 360 or self-assessment tools, that it's very clear as to what the results of those inventories and assessments will be. Will you be the only one that receives the information, or does the company expect that they will have access to it as well? Very important to understand what the contracts and the contracting and confidentiality are.
Cheryl, we need to have you back for another show.
Okay, I'll come.
Because that's all the time we have for today's edition of Career Voice. I want to thank you for being on our show today. Your insights and commitment to our profession are just really wonderful to hear about. And I really, again, thank you for joining me today. I also want to thank the sponsor of this program, the Association of Career Professionals International, a global organization of career professionals with over 2,000 members in 30 countries who provide lifelong career-related services with an active chapter right here in Washington, D.C. And Cheryl's in New York. I know you have an active chapter.
Very active.
To listen to this program online at your convenience, please visit www.acpinternational.org. And click on the Career Voice link. You've been listening to Career Voice on WMET AM 1160 and the Association Internet Radio Network. This is your host, Marshall Brown, signing off until next time.